Good evening. This is the meeting of the PND's Personnel Committee on Thursday night, December 14th, 2023 at 5:35 p.m. We have reached quorum. Madam Secretary, will you do the roll call?
All right. Thank you for your patience. Okay. Ken. Okay, Alan is present. Jim Dingman? Not hearing Dingman. Heather Gray?
Here.
Thank you. Donna Grimes? Not hearing Donna. Julie Hewitt?
Here.
Thank you, Julie. Avelia Jones?
Here.
Thank you, Avelia. Darlene Pagano?
Here.
Thank you, Darlene. Jim Sagerton?
Here.
Thank you, Jim. And Nancy Sorden? Not hearing Nancy. Madam Chair, we have quorum.
Thank you for the meeting. We need a timekeeper for items. And we'll have to decide what the time is for each item because I just can't get that down in writing agendas. I have a lesson to learn there. Anyone willing to be a timekeeper for items?
I am.
Julie is. Great. Okay. All right then, for 3 minutes, let us find out if everyone approves of tonight's agenda. Are there any objections to tonight's agenda that was sent out last night, I believe? Hearing no objection, we save some time on agenda.
Darlene, could you read it, please, for the sake of the stream?
Right. Okay, we've already done the call to order and roll call and assigning the timekeeper. We are approving the agenda. Then approve the minutes of the last meeting. And then the actual meat of the matter is five, which is complete the ED evaluation process. And this is all the follow-up. And there are the parts to that are lessons learned, improvements to suggest to the process. C, can the Personnel Committee expand its mandate to be of more use to Pacifica. And D, I found an error in my arithmetic. It's tiny. It's pretty much inconsequential, but I feel the need to note it and explain it. Number six, James, is new business if we have it. And seven is the next meeting if we have one, and to adjourn by time certain of 11 o'clock Eastern time. Does that work for you?
Thank you, darling.
Great.
Yep, thank you.
Okay, any objection? Hearing none, we have an agenda. Madam Secretary, you sent out the minutes immediately after the last meeting, did you not?
Yes, I did.
Okay. With everyone having had those minutes for a week, is there any objection to approving the minutes of the last meeting, which was December, well, it was more than a week, December 4th. And they can be approved with the understanding that any error found can be brought up at any time in the future. Any objections to the minutes? Oh, okay. We are zipping. All right. This is the issue, getting to the issues I wanted to talk about, which is, this is the follow-up to the evaluation process. Oh, James, let me also say there's a sentence at the beginning of the agenda that said this meeting will be an open session As the committee has already presented its report to the PNB, and I gave the outcome, which you're in open session, and I cannot get an answer from Arthur today to whether he or not he has passed that on to Stephanie or not yet. So since at the last meeting it was suggested that it's still confidential until Stephanie has made her decision, that we leave it that way. So we're an open meeting, so that's not part of the sentence I'll be reading out. So follow up, and I will go in the order I wrote them down unless somebody says, oh, let's go to that one first. So I will take letter A, which is lessons learned. And this is what is notable, what should be repeated, what's questionable, and what's a problem. I'm not asking anybody to vote or give a ranking, as we've spent so much time doing, but I'd like to hear what people think we learned by having this election. And excuse me, Madam Chair, Nancy Sorden has shown up at the meeting.
Well, thank you.
Nancy, can you unmute and declare that you're here?
Hello, everyone. This is Nancy Sorden.
Thank you. Nancy, in the agenda, which was approved, we are at the what I was calling the meat of the matter, and somebody has, it's a good thing it's an open meeting, Nancy, yes. Or we might have to speak up about your guest,
my
listener.
Guest. This is Atlas.
For those who can't see, there's one heck of an adorable child sitting on Nancy's lap as the meeting is happening. Okay. What lessons were learned? What worked well? Is that a hand up, Julie Hewitt?
It is, but it's mostly to say, how long would you like to spend on this particular item before we get going?
Thank you so much. Let's say 8 minutes.
Okay.
Thank you. I do not actually want to sit here and watch 8 minutes countdown, but people can just say if they have nothing, and maybe we'll move on. I mean, for me, the lesson learned was no matter how long it's been since you've had an executive director to evaluate or how long it's been since you evaluated, there's no time that is too late to have a successful performance review. Julie Hewitt.
Yeah. I think one of the things that we ought to consider as an improvement for next year in the lessons learned category is like making the evaluation form more like a form to be filled out so that it's clear. Here's what we're asking you about. Here's a box to put your comments in, right? It'll just make it easier on people. And then, you know.
Excellent. Boxes for comment. Okay.
Right.
Okay. What other?
I agree. Yeah, that's a good suggestion.
I'm going to move on if there's actually
my
no
hand
one
is
else.
Up.
I beg your pardon, Avelia, your hand is up.
Yes. Well, from the bottom level of the ship, so to speak, I would like to say that in order for these evaluations to go smoothly from all angles, you have to make sure, or it would be wonderful if you could make sure that every evaluator has the equipment to do a timely input, and if they don't, you need to know, or whoever's coordinating it needs to know that, because maybe that's a person that needs to be substituted or eliminated from the process. Because, you know, I find for myself and a few others who spoke, didn't always have computers working well, all of this, all of that. So it's a minor thing, but nothing this broad as in Zoom works well if someone's not really equipped to do the work.
And you're talking, you're talking about internet and
all of that.
Computer
I did not
think to ask anyone.
Well, that would think that would be a first question in the future. You don't know who's going to be on this committee, personnel. And, well, that's my opinion.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Okay, Madam Secretary, James Dingman has logged on to the meeting. James, can you give your voice to your presence?
Yeah, I'm here.
Thank you.
Jim, we are in the lessons learned section number 5 on the agenda, and we are, the wrap up is number 5 on the agenda. We're going over lessons learned. What should be done differently for the next committee that runs an evaluation?
Darlene, this is Heather. My apology. I can't find the agenda. I looked everywhere for it.
So that
doesn't matter, I guess.
Well, hold on. Give me a second. Let me see if I can.
Send another one to me also.
I'll put it in the chat.
Oh, that's a good idea. All right. Thanks.
If I can figure out how that's done. Tip of the hat to you, Avalia. I'm a person who, here we go. Here it is. Copy all. Copy, go back to Zoom and put it in chat.
All right, you want my opinion about that?
There's the agenda. Yes, Jim, go ahead.
All right. First,
you have 2 minutes and 50 seconds.
All right. First of all, what happened last year when people decided to have the personnel committee because, oh my God, it was 4 weeks or 3 weeks before Stephanie's probation period ends. Let's rush through and figure out what to do about it. Well, that's bullshit. And then, you know, there has to be consistent meetings throughout the entire, year. And also I think that the question of pushing for evaluations to be done with all the management staff at all the stations is something this committee should definitely do because, you know, that's broken down in many cases. That just hasn't been systematically implemented, for years. I didn't even know when the last time an ED had an evaluation. I mean, somebody may correct me. I don't know if Lydia ever got an evaluation. I don't know if people before her got evaluations. So this whole process has broken down pretty significantly. And I also might add that, you know, Serene's on the warpath now, and you guys can have a lot of fun with her if she gets on the board. And as far as I'm concerned, this whole thing with Stephanie's contract should be signed, sealed, and delivered in the next week or so. Let's get this over with because I can see the way she's
starting. Point of information. Do we really want to go into these things in an open session?
Are we in an open session?
Yes, sir.
Oh, Christ.
All right. You can back that out. All right.
Great. I thought we were in a closed session. I thought we've been in closed session all the time. Okay, great.
We've
great.
Been in closed session all the time. We were speaking about Stephanie's, the identities of all present, involved in Stephanie's evaluation.
Well, it has not been announced that there's any contract that's been renewed, correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, so, Jim, can I ask you a question on your, what you've said so far? You said all management at all stations, and I know that, all general managers, all program directors, and this is interim and, permanent, were invited. There were several business office, people. And, did you have something else in mind as to management?
No, all the paid management, all this has to be regularized. There has
yes, they all were included and they all responded.
No. Well, yeah, but I'm now referring in general to, you know, the fact that yes, it's fine. This is great. I'm sure, as I said before you guys told me we're in open session, which is hilarious. This whole process has never really implemented for years. What the hell?
That was some sort of echo going on, but wait. I think James Sagerton closed. No. All right. I don't know what that was beyond the fact that it was an echo.
Well, anyway, so, you know, this has to be just systematically done in a regular basis. And I also think that the committee has to not simply focus in on the ED issue, but has to make sure that this whole process is implemented fairly and objectively throughout the entire system for all management personnel and done regularly. Because that also has broken down.
Thank you. James Sagerton, hand up. That was me calling on you, James Sagerton.
Yeah, thank you, Darlene. As far as things to do for the future or things to think about, the things that you had to do by yourself in terms of aggregating the input, knowing who the participants the input was coming from, that sort of thing. I think you should have whoever is the chair should have a working partner, I guess, you know, perhaps from another radio station, you know, there might be some other way to make sure that they are looking at it from a broad perspective, to do that. So these are things I mentioned in our meetings previously and at PNB. So I think it would be good to have additional person. And I don't know if that would be a co-chair or a vice chair or whatever, but somebody to, you know, be an extra set of eyes on things, to help it go along smoothly. And that would be one item. And as I mentioned prominently at the PNB meeting and in our meetings here, we need a way to weed out certain comments that I think objectively cannot be understood to be anything but neutral, to weed that out rather than perhaps assuming that, for example, listing things that the person being evaluated does without commenting on how they're doing it. You know, well or poorly or, you know, late or, you know, on time or whatever, doesn't really constitute any evaluation. It's just a statement of fact. So, there's that. And that's all for now.
Okay. We're down to, three. Julie, what's the time?
So we got to the end of the time, and so then I just put the stopwatch on, so now it's counting up. So it's been, okay. You know.
We're 3 minutes over.
Over, yeah.
Do we have to do a full motion to add time to this particular step?
Because we didn't prove the agenda with the times on it, so this is just okay. Trying to do time management.
All right, time management. Okay, hold on. Going around. Okay, for a second. Speaking for the second time, Jim Dingman. We're still on lessons learned.
Yeah, okay. As I said, this all has to be regularized and regular meetings. I also would like to learn from other stations in the affiliate network how they evaluate people, because we might be able to pick up some tricks we haven't even thought of, and also how evaluating their other paid employees do with that indeed at all. Because I have no idea how they do it or how NPR stations do it, which, again, are very different than us. But I think that as long as it's all regularized and fair and objective, that I think what one should try for, because this process can be, you know, oh, let's hurry up and do it because we have a particular objective in mind. And I've seen that last year, I saw this year, and I just assume see the whole thing done on a regular basis because it's too serious an issue to put aside, sort of, you know, wait last minute to work on it. I just think that's a mistake. I just think that, you know, people have to really, you know, meet more often than they think they do. I'm not saying they should, if there's nothing to do, they shouldn't like pick up, make work, but one can learn a lot from what other people do. And I think the questions of refining the questionnaires in the future, I think would be useful. To be more broad. But anyway, those are sort of things. I felt everybody more or less with some arguments, everything went on pretty well.
Thank you. I'm going to call on Nancy Sorden next to speak her first time, and then James Sagerton, you're online for the second. Go ahead, Nancy.
Okay. I was, thinking since we're, there's lessons learned that, so it took us a while to get started, but maybe we were a little bit daunted by the task. And so I was thinking we could help the next folks along by maybe creating an outline or of a standard operating procedure or like something like a timeline like they have for the finance committee that, you know, just identifies the steps, and so that people will know the very first step that they need to do to just get them, you know, get them up and running. And, you know, maybe we could even put something like that together, a very brief one tonight.
Okay. Excellent. I don't know why I didn't put that on the agenda as sort of like an assignment for getting a write-up done. I beg your pardon on that. James Sagerton.
Thank you, Darlene. Yeah, another thing that came back to me was the way that sometimes when we were trying to decide whether an evaluation was trending positive or trending negative, a person would say three generally or vaguely positive things and then three vaguely critical or negative things. And then the question is, well, how do you process that? Is that a neutral input, or, you know, is it depend on the person who's reviewing the input? And does that person, if they see three things that they think are important, then it becomes trending positive, and vice versa. So more parameters, a better way to figure out exactly how we're interpreting what people are saying, which kind of goes along the theme of the other things that I said earlier. And then finally, on this other question, which is not specifically to do with this evaluation, but the question of should this committee be involved in evaluations at the local levels for GMs and PDs, et cetera. And it says in the bylaws, Section 7, Article 7, rather, Section 3, C, I think it's C and F, where it mentions that the LSBs have the responsibility to evaluate annually the GMs and the PDs. It says under the supervision of the PNB. So I think that's the gateway that we can use for this committee to come up with some procedures and then apply them across the network so we have some kind of uniformity, which is, I think, important in personnel questions so people don't feel that they're being discriminated against or, you know, evaluated differently or unfairly. I think that would be a good thing for this committee to continue to work on rather than just, you know, closing up shop and waiting until the next time we're going to evaluate the ED.
Great. You've already anticipated item C on the agenda under Section 5. Okay. And that, I'll give it a moment, that is the end of the raised hands.
Sorry if I jumped the gun on that. I didn't. I'm not looking at the agenda.
No, that's fine. I'm glad, you know, you said it. So I know other people are thinking about it as well.
I'd like to say something.
Okay, go right ahead, Madam Chair. Secretary. No, Secretary. Yeah. I'm the chair.
You flatter me. Okay. But I think you're chair. Okay. So if I have a suggestion, I wish that people had not been I wish it hadn't been necessary to remind people so often that they needed to complete their work. Who did you have the biggest problem with, the board or actually with staff?
Well, I would just say here in open session, I didn't really have much a problem at all with the staff and the voluntary extras, staff management and the extras, seemed pretty eager to participate or at least pretty eager to get it off their desk. So, I don't know which it was mostly, but no, that was a very, pleasant part.
So my suggestion,
of the evaluation.
Well, my comment would be, I wish we could think of a way to either help the PNB members do their evaluation or motivate them somehow. I know it was stressful for you. And as a result, you had, because it was pushed to the last minute, you had to really scramble to get it, to get all the analysis and the statistics together. And so they really made it, board members really made it hard on you and you're a professional, but, still it's just unfair to treat you like that. So maybe someone here has a suggestion as to how we could get board members to do it more quickly.
I could do follow-up. Well, one of the chairs, one of the co-chairs of the next time could try for direct communication much earlier than I did. So that's one suggestion. It doesn't lighten the load, but don't put yourself up for election to be on the personnel committee if you want a terribly light load. And I do believe that caught a couple of people on this committee by surprise of what we were about to delve into. So there you go.
Are you taking notes? Are you taking notes, Madam Chair, on these?
Yes, I am. Thank you. Yes.
Okay. Because, I really haven't done that. Frankly, I don't have my contacts on, so I'm I'm starting to try to do this the minute. I'd appreciate your putting those minutes into that or sending them to me so I can put them in, because I don't know what kind of priority to give, but I think it would be helpful if we have all of these suggestions in our minutes. Thank you.
Yes, I'll get that to you. I was taking them for my personal use, but they can be cleaned up, just the, you know, they can be formalized.
Is this being recorded?
Darlene, I wanted to add something to that.
Okay, wait a second. Nancy, was there a question that
is
was
this
coming?
Is this being recorded?
Yes, it is.
So.
Okay. Thanks to Otis.
Harry can also.
Okay, Dingman, third round. What is it that you wanted to add?
Well, I wouldn't beat up on yourself that much. The thing is that, you know, we were nevertheless inventing something new. It wasn't really, happening and quite daunting. And it was basically last fall got basically stopped or put aside around October, if I recall, of last year, September, October last year. Then it didn't start up again until, when did you start this? About June or July or something like
yes,
that?
Yes, June. Yeah, so we were underway in June.
That interim period, you know, because I was on both renditions of this committee. I mean, that's where, the, you know, understandably, you know, one had to figure out what to do. But in the future, you know, it should just go more smoothly. And I hope that some people who are on this committee now will be on the committee in the next rendition of the board, because it's important to have continuity and just not simply reinvent the wheel, which is what occurred to start with. You know, that's another lesson I learned from this, that, you know, basically a lot of hard work was done in both renditions of this committee. And it should definitely, as Jim mentioned, be used to help prod the process in the stations to get this regularized. That's all.
Thank you. Okay, we're 15 minutes more than the 8 minutes I gave for this one particular item. So, but I guess if I'm asking for ideas and suggestions, I should have known better to not leave it so short. Okay, last hand up or current hand up, James Sagerton.
Yeah, thanks, Darlene. I'm basically repeating what other people have said, but I just want to put a fine point on it. And that is, you know, the talk about how difficult this was and how much work it was and how slow some were to engage it and complete it. It really wasn't that hard. I think, you know, there's a certain fear of the unknown. You know, you don't know what's being asked until you look at it. You don't understand how hard or easy it's going to be. But the point about keeping it regularized, doing it over and over again, we don't have to keep the process exactly the same. The process can evolve. But if we're using basically, you know, we're building on what we've done the year before for the next year and the following year, people will get used to it. It won't be hard anymore. We'll start to have people who are familiar with it, and it'll go easier, and people won't be afraid of it. So
right.
I think doing it regularly is the thing to make it work, and that's what we're supposed to do anyway.
Okay, thank you. Yes, overcoming inertia when it's been sitting for years, it was probably the hardest part of it all. And I agree with you, James. It isn't that hard. It's meticulous, but not that hard, usually. So thanks for that. Are we ready to move on in something that we've sort of already melted into, which is improvements suggested to the process? And I, as the chair would say, I think people have already done a pretty good job at that. But if this exact question, what improvements can be suggested to the process that you held back in Section A and you were waiting for Section B, we could go ahead and do that. And Julie, we have 10 minutes. Did anyone not say in Section A, what improvements they would suggest to this process. Sagerton and I'm considering that a legacy hand until told otherwise.
Yeah, it's a legacy.
Thank you.
I'd like to say something.
Sure, Teresa.
No, we as a board really didn't give our priorities to the executive director. We didn't have a session where we kind of tried to get on the same page or, you know, took votes so we could say what our higher priority was. And we did ask her, in her self-evaluation to say that. And I'm just thinking we ought to give some instructions to the PNB that maybe they ought to have some sort of session. Some people call it a retreat or something so that this person can have more direction. I think a lot of us didn't really give much thought up until this evaluation process to if her priorities, because of the circumstances, were different than in the job description. So many things she couldn't do because she's borrowing from Peter to pay Paul, spending a lot of her time doing that. And it just seems like months before this evaluation began, something should have been done that would have improved the chances that we could make sure that she was on the same page as the board.
All right.
I mean, maybe we could say, at such and such a date when the board met with the executive director, we agreed that these were our five highest priorities. And we reviewed that 6 months later. And at that time, our priorities were such and such. Just as a reminder. And then put that at the beginning of the evaluation. So she could say, or she or he, that person could say, when I began the position, I was told to do this and this and this. These were the priorities. And this is what I ended up doing. And we could make a decision as to whether that was just insubordination that she didn't do what we thought were the priorities or not. Just think that we were like two ships passing in the nights for so much of this this year. I don't know whether you can kind of help the ED in advance to make sure that she could actually improve her performance if we had thought a little bit ahead of time. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Next hands up. I'm going to, Jim, I'm going to let Heather and Julie speak and then you'll next. Heather, go ahead.
Well, I want to say for her comments, because I was going to say something else along that line. I don't know exactly what the personnel committee was trying to think. At the very beginning of this process, because there should be some kind of consensus that the executive director knows what we're going to be looking at or something, you know. Did we do anything like that, Darlene? Did we have a discussion?
Yes.
We did. Excellent.
We stated to everyone that we were strictly asking, for a strict evaluation according to the job description that she had had upon starting. But the next time we do an evaluation, the PMB does an evaluation, she'll be at year three of what she's working on, and we can do something else or add or, you know, modify what we're asking her about, because we're already seeing from this first evaluation that people think she is doing what she's supposed to be doing, given the limitations that different people cited as limitations to the job. So we don't have to only do it that way, but as somebody brought up about fairness, just a little tiny bit earlier, how did you put it? Oh, the priorities of the PMB have to be the priorities of the whole PMB and not the, maybe I'm being too pessimistic for the future, but not just the, priority by faction. So that's the best I can answer for you, Heather.
Oh, well, thanks, Darlene. Just as long as she knows what it is we're going to be looking at primarily. So there is that kind of consensus. That's what you've said, right? There is that understanding, which is a good thing.
Yep.
Great. Okay. So I don't have anything else to add to that. Thanks for sharing that. All right. Thank you.
Sure. Julie?
Yeah. I mean, without, you know, sort of going into detail about one of our executive session conversations, I will just simply note that one of our more vigorous conversations, you know, kind of was around what should be the priorities for the ED, right? And so the idea is that for the evaluation to be fair, you know, it can't feel like a gotcha where it was like, well, what I wanted you to do was X. You spent most of your time doing Y. Therefore, I'm marking you down because you didn't spend enough time on, you know. And so that's the sense in which, you know, there might be a way to, for the PMB to kind of set out, here are some things we want you to focus on, right? Now, don't get me wrong. I am totally sure it would be difficult to get the PMB to focus on, here's the things we want you to focus on. You know, because different people have different ideas about what they think the ED should be doing, right? And so it's going to be hard to get consensus on that. But if we could get consensus on that, and maybe this should be something that we express as part of the process for next year, is like, if the PMB can come to consensus on, this is what we want the ED to focus on, then you say that at the outset, or at least you make that expression something like at least 6 months in advance of when you're going to conduct the performance review, right? To make it fair, because you can't say, well, I wanted you to, you know, spend a whole lot more time doing X, and then X takes 6 months to execute, but you tell them that like 2 months before you're going to evaluate them. It's not fair, right? So, I mean, and I was just making up an example there, but something to that effect to make it clear that if the PMB wants to focus on something in particular, otherwise it's like all the things that are listed in the job description, because that's kind of our fallback, right? You know, or if the PMB wants to decide on, some way of waiting. Right. This is another way to approach it. Some way of waiting, you know, cause we had, you know, while it was something like 30 or so different, individual things that were listed in her job description, nonetheless, they were organized into like half a dozen buckets, you know, thematic things like I want to say technology was one of them, and fundraising might have been one, or, you know, something to that effect. And it's like, if there's something that the PMB wants her to focus on, then another way to go about that is to say, well, we're going to put more weight on, you know, these three buckets and less weight on these four buckets or, you know, something like that. And then that's a way to kind of signal to the ED, you know, that the PMB is on the same page with each other and there's consensus. And this is how they want the executive director to spend their time and what they want to make priorities. And then there's no gotcha in terms of, you know, the evaluation, like, did she focus the way we wanted her to focus? So that's what I wanted to add.
Great. I think I got it all. Sagerton?
Yeah, thanks. I'm remembering how we gave basically equal weight to all of the input that we got. And since there's been mention here of weighting items, I think we started out with a methodology where we were going to focus on input that came with a narrative that explained what the actual contact between the ED and the person providing the input was. And we didn't get a lot of that. In fact, we got very little of it, I think, as I recall. But we also got some people who really, you know, didn't really follow the instructions very much, or they only took a few things to answer about and didn't really give personal experience. They would say, well, I know so-and-so, and he says she's doing a good job on this. I think it would have been good. I mean, maybe it's too complicated for, you know, the first few times out, but if we could have found a way to weight the input based on the actual experience that the person had working with the ED and also how effectively the person was responding to the instructions to talk about their actual experience and not talk about, well, you know, they've heard from so-and-so or, you know, she must be doing a good job because, you know, she's doing a good job on something else, those kind of responses. I saw a lot of responses like that, and I felt like they should have been given decreased weight in the final results. So that's kind of complicated. I don't know how you accomplish that, but it's just a thought.
Yeah, that is complicated because in one, we get an answer in which we can evaluate the ED by people expressing, you know, giving us good feedback. But the other is we're penalizing the ED for the lack of descriptive help given on the evaluation by the person writing the evaluation. So you're right. It is complicated. And we'd have to sort that out a little bit. And I join, some of us have referred to this, I join in the frustration that you could send a complete description of how this will run and what we're asking of the evaluators and a focus on one sentence. And that's how the whole their whole evaluation is going to be slanted or, you know, what their evaluation is actually going to focus on. So I agree about that particular kind of complication. Thank you. All right. We are wrapping up section B of the suggested improvements. And now
Jim still has his hand up, Darlene.
Yes, he spoke and he hasn't put his hand down. Heather.
You're talking Remember about he's me? All,
I'm talking about down. Jim Dingman. Jim Dingman.
Oh, oh, sorry. The J's kind of confound me. I'm sorry, Jim Dingman.
I confound you? Oh my God.
The number of J's on the PNB confound me, yes.
I see. All right. Well, first of all, the I gotcha stuff. You know, some people, there's no consensus about how to move forward with many people, and people come in there with different opinions. So one always has to keep in mind that you know, you have this big list of this person should do this, this person should do that. And, you know, you look at the objective situation that the executive director or any general manager faces at any particular station or throughout the whole system. And some of it seems ridiculous to, you know, given the interrelationship of all the different units, the problems, the complexity of them, it's simply not fair to have people saying, I got you on something, when there's really no consensus about how to move forward as an institution. So that's one problem. Second problem is, in the past, I'm going back into the 90s, there was capacity building funds in the board that they would put forth. They would have, like, retreats. They'd have, they'd encourage this on the LSB level. I don't know when, maybe some boards do that, but that's completely broken down since we haven't had any in-person meetings for a long time. And I don't recall any kind of capacity building retreats that have occurred in the past couple of years. Those have been on the board before me can tell me if I'm wrong, but I don't think there's been anything. And so I think that's important to do, or at least encourage people to do those kind of things locally, because any capacity building thing that someone participates in can have a positive effect on what goes on in terms of this institution. And finally, the lack of information about certain kinds of common denominators, like one of the reasons I harp on an issue of having the audience data known, the financial data known, et cetera, is because sometimes people just make bold assertions as to what they think are the solutions and then say, oh, the ED doesn't do this, the ED doesn't do that, based on zero facts. And that, of course, is not helpful. Because it then, people will make assertions and assumptions and arguments and spin off into a whole narrative where they'll get people completely embodied and, wrapped up in this. I see this happening as we speak in different stations, certainly in New York, and it's based on no facts. So it's important to get the raw facts out so people understand what the hell we're dealing with. And, you know, the ED's not a super person. They cannot do it alone, and it's not fair for people to think that they can overcome problems that have been structurally not dealt with for decades. It really is not fair to think that you're going to change Rome in a day.
Thank you. And Heather's put her hand up for a second time. Go ahead. Heather?
Yes, thank you. I just want to find out who just got on the 8624. Who's that?
I believe that's James Sackerton.
It is.
And oh, yeah, I fell off and I called back in.
Okay, I had him.
So no,
I had him named, but yeah.
No, but anyway, I just want to mention quickly, and this is something I think that many of the folks would think about whatever Stephanie was doing and so forth as far as fundraising and so forth. I know this was brought up before the board. I think we do need a fundraising committee. I'm just putting that out to everyone. We need to have some entity that's involved in raising money for Pacifica and community radio overall. And for a discussion later on, Julie. But this is relevant to the work that the executive committee, the executive director would be doing, actually, is also exploring ways to advance fundraising for Pacifica and community radio overall. I just wanted to mention that, Darlene. We don't need to go anywhere else with that, but I think it's a discussion we all need to be having at some point.
Okay. Thank you. Section C is next.
So are you saying, Heather, that you think that we need to put this in the job description a little better?
No, not really. It was probably inappropriate for me to bring that up there. Although maybe it should be in the job description about raising money, but I think it should be affiliated with the fundraising committee on the Pacifica board. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Since, bringing money into the organization is a primary duty of just about every board member I've ever heard of. promoting that in the PMB would be a good idea. Thank you. Because it seems to me that the over time, the PNB has settled on what they want to do instead of what's in the bylaws as to what we are mandated to do. And that's a whole discussion.
Darlene, yes, it is a whole other discussion. And I think we really need to have that because there's so many different aspects and so many different media outlets these days that we need to explore ways to work within the changing media breadth, actually. I don't know where, I mean, I know we can have a long discussion about it now, but we need to do that at some point soon.
Right. Teresa, are you completely in what you wanted to say?
Yes, my hand is down.
Okay, thank you. As I started to say, Section C, this has already been brought up by other voices, but what I'm reading out here is, can the PMB Personnel Committee, the PMB, expand its mandate to be of more use to Pacifica? And I'm going to get to speak here. Madam Secretary, let's go, excuse me, timekeeper, let's go for 10. We'll see how we do. The LSBs have an obligation to do for the PMB to do the general manager and program director of their station. I think that, for instance, one example is that, especially if we've done as has otherwise been suggested, which is being a group that meets to discuss the issue of personnel in Pacifica, we can be a group that does some project management of the LSB evaluations so that the LSB can do a timely review and it not bog them down or not make them try to invent the wheel each and every time this has to be done. So that's one example, which is the personnel committee can be a resource and maybe even project managing a number of other evaluation processes in Pacifica. Julie, you were quick to have your hand up.
I was. I completely agree with Darlene on, you know, project managing the LSBs and I think one of the things that we ought to do as part of that is make sure that we're regularizing a schedule by which to get the annual reviews done, right? Because the point is once people learn that like, oh, we do performance reviews in May. I just made that up, but you know, then it's like people expect it to happen and you know, some of our listener members who aren't delegates or directors might help hold their feet to the fire on, well, this is May. I thought you're supposed to be doing this stuff, right? The other thing that I was going to say just as like kind of like big picture thing for the mandate for the personnel committee is, you know, as long as we are in – you know, sort of this sad financial situation where we don't have an HR person who works for Pacifica, right? Whether it's a consultant contractor or somebody who's actually a Pacifica employee, I think there are probably ways in which we need to be able to support the executive director by doing some, you know, volunteer work around things that just need to be done related to personnel. And so there I'm thinking of things like, you know, we've talked about this before. We need strong policies on volunteers, you know, so that volunteers know what rules they have to follow when they volunteer for stations. And so that might be the kind of thing that we could, you know, take on and do a little research and it would, you know, share it with Stephanie and have her review it. But, you know, it's like it's the kind of project that takes too much time that she's not going to be able to just tackle it, right? But maybe we can, you know, like get some of these kinds of things started. And so like a volunteer handbook, we've talked about, you know, having like a grievance process for, programmers, you know, when they lose their show, you know, and some sort of, you know, some programmers get suspended, but then the suspension is, you know, not for a specific period of time. You know, there's things we can do that would just regularize processes related to personnel. You know, obviously we're not going to do, you know, other things that you really need to kind of be a professional to do. But you know, we can help out with some of these kinds of things that you don't need to be a professional to do. What kinds of things am I talking about there?
Well, when employees get in trouble with their role or their ability to do their job, you do not want to get in the, you do not want somebody who can be the bull in the china shop in that, because that china shop leads directly to a lawsuit. So
yeah, exactly. That's a great example. Thank you, Darlene. But anyway, that's what I wanted to add.
Thank you. Okay, I'm gonna go circle around to the front again. Jim Dingman.
Well, this issue of the volunteer handbook is always raised. It's amazing. That obviously has broken down completely, because I remember when I first came in and started to do radio, I was immediately handed a volunteer handbook and whammo. That was sort of a raw outline of what to do, what not to do, et cetera. So it's sort of interesting that this is totally broken down. In terms of the fundraising issues, I think there has to be a closer, well, remember, the main priority is that we have to get the audits done, and we're 2 years behind. So like, we can't even get nonprofit fundraising right now at all. And plus, it's going to jeopardize our on-air fundraising. So I think that's a real major priority, and that's a priority that I would say the ED should lead on. But at the same time, that has to be, you know, looked on holistically. And that's the other problem with just simply laying it on the ED. It's a holistic system response or non-response. I do think that the local stations, there has to be more regularized evaluations as to how they're doing. You know, okay, are you creeping up from 0.1% to 0.2% of the market share, et cetera? And that kind of stuff really has to be instilled in board members. And a lot of board members philosophically, one, ain't trained to do it. Two, they fail to recognize we're dealing with a broadcasting institution. We're not dealing with the People's Republic of America after the revolution, which some people like to think. And that requires a whole different mentality. And I think that the people on the board and who get involved in governance have to understand that they are assuming the responsibilities of a broadcast institution, not their alternative fantasies about what they think America should look like. And that tends to impregnate how they make personnel decisions, which can be dilatory for the purposes of moving forward. So I do think that those are points to be kept in mind in looking at this in a wider sense.
All right. Teresa.
When you were talking, Julie, when you were talking, I wrote down, can the personnel committee help as a resource and with project management to assist LSBs in evaluation? And my question was, did you mean evaluation and searches or just evaluation? Were you speaking only?
I was thinking evaluations, but I think adding searches to that is a fantastic idea, too.
Okay.
Because I think we're not we wind up reinventing the wheel every time we do a search, and it shouldn't be like that.
Help. Regularize a schedule for LSB evaluations. And as long as we don't have an HR department, could we help formalize, for example, grievance processes, an employee handbook, or volunteer
handbook.
Handbook.
And procedures and policies. I mean, for example, you know, we would want to be able to, I'm doing air quotes, fire a volunteer if they did something egregious, right? That was contrary to the policies that we set out. Mm-hmm. You know, just because you want to volunteer doesn't mean you get to volunteer. If you don't follow the rules, you don't get to stick around.
Okay. Thank you. You know, many years ago, we had a person that we hired. And I think she was hired as a development director. And she came to a meeting in Houston. And she had books about this thick. And she had one for every board member. But she had taken, I think it was the KPFA employee handbook. And she had just basically taken out KPFA and put in WPFW, and then she took out WPFW and put WBAI. So each one had the new handbook, but it was just didn't relate because it was originally, I guess, a handbook that had been specific to the parking issues at KPFA and all of these other specific things. And then had just been adjusted that way. So that was like not worth anything. How sad that we wasted all that paper on that. It's bad.
Okay.
I mean, I would like things to be more consistent. I really would. I mean, I would like to not have, because I remember when we created the bylaws, we didn't have five different versions. We had seven different versions. We had one for every station, but two of the stations couldn't agree, so that each of those two had two. And then we printed them on a paper, so we had seven versions across in little columns about this wide. Same problem with handbooks. There has to be a way that we could make them somewhat consistent. And maybe this is the committee to do that. I would hope that we could do something in helping something be more consistent because when I'm on a national board and a station is doing something some way, but I'm used to doing it my way at my station, and I'm not understanding how these problems developed because there's no continuity. I mean, I know that each area is different. I mean, DC is obviously very different than Houston, and there are labor issues that are different, but it would be nice if we could have a consistent evaluation tool, for example, of how to evaluate programmers or anything, if it was just more consistent as best we could, I think would help the whole organization.
I add something here?
Go ahead.
First of all, when I first came into the mix, there was a handbook for everybody. I'm talking about 1990. It was a book that was specific and wide. Now, the evaluation, we've got that road many times. It just is that nobody's actually doing the evaluations. I mean, maybe they're doing it now in certain stations, but has that process, in my opinion, has never been properly implemented because it takes too much time to do it well. And we're talking about, you know, one person. We don't have the staff we used to have in all these different situations. Remember in New York, there used to be probably 4 to 5 paid people just involved with programming. Now there's only one. And in most stations, there's none. So we have to keep that in mind when we talk about these things. I totally agree with you. And then when the bylaws were argued, there wasn't you're talking about personnel, in dealing with the unpaid staff and the paid staff, the volunteers on air. There's nothing in there that talks about the kind of things that need to be done to ensure a basic training, if you will, or a advanced training to let them try to be the best broadcaster they can be, or how to pitch in their hour slot, half hour. I mean, there's all these things that we just don't do as an institution. And so it's something to think about. You know, I don't know whether the personnel committee outfit think about that, but yes, there is something said to build up capacity and allow that to be part of how unpaid staff are treated. Because remember, me and other people who are old, involved in this, we were actually in the United Electrical Workers Union in 1990, and we were actually in a bargaining unit. So I have a different experience perhaps than other people do, certainly people in Texas or in Washington. So those are things we have to keep in mind forward in sitting and getting these kind of things in motion, which I agree with 100% we should do.
Okay. Yes. I'm going to move on from section C if we feel like we got stuff out and on paper, or in Teresa's case on pixels, but, I have it on paper. Julie, you're raising your hand. Was that just a thumbs up? Okay. So we're thumbs up on moving on to the next thing. And the next thing, I know we're in open session, but, you know, I feel like small as the problem was, I want to bring attention to it and hopefully fix it in mind. About noon today, at least noon Pacific, you got an email that said PCOM meeting. I found an error. It's tiny, but it's an error in the numbers used. And I explained what it was, and I explained what difference or not, which is actually the case, it makes in our understanding of the evaluation and where I think I made the mistake. So not to drag it out any longer, but there was something not right in my mind about all the numbers that we talked about at the PNB meeting when reviewing the total evaluation. And here's the error. If you take all of the tick marks, and I went back twice to count the tick marks over again, every column, if you count the tick marks, the total at the bottom is correct. What I didn't put in is to take all of those totals and make sure that number of all totals winds up as 6 times the evaluations that came in. In the report that we gave, I gave to the PNB, what I said was that we had some reviews that came in so late that we didn't have time. Some reviewers of the panel of 6 weren't able to fill to code those last 3 that came in, or they weren't able to code them completely. So we did not, in fact, get 180 perfectly filled out evaluations. I mean, yeah, 180, which is 30 times the 6 of us. We got 100, and our tick marks added up, in fact, to 172. And in the report to the PNB, I said it was 176. Somewhere along the line, I used my calculator and hit the wrong number. And so it's 172 as our denominator, as what we're, of how we're averaging all of the replies and averaging all the work of the replies. So our denominator is slightly off. And I then repeated all the numbers of the reviews, and I showed that, in effect, it makes absolutely no difference, the error. And by doing it again, much more precisely, all it did was slightly raise non-committal to positive by pretty much 1 point or no points. And that's 1 percentage point. So, I goofed. I think I know why my adding machine isn't working. And the reason a bookkeeper or any other financial person uses an adding machine instead of a calculator is an adding machine prints out what numbers you are using as you use them. And then at the end of running a long set of numbers, you take that tape off, that paper tape off, and then you go back with that paper tape and you compare it to the numbers you meant to put in, and you make sure the numbers you actually put in, compared to the numbers you meant to put in are exactly the same. So my, I don't know, transposing, leaving something out, whatever, was off. And I'm going to buy myself a new adding machine. They are not, in fact, obsolete and of no use. They are very important. And actually, the point that Adriana made at our PNB meeting about being able to go back and look at the numbers or rankings compared to what you sent in is very important. And it is the reason why in voting, there always need paper ballots. So that is my explanation. And because it's the first time we're doing this and I want everything absolutely copacetic, I brought everything up to date. And I wrote it all out for this committee to see. End of my story. So we have two hands up, and that's Jim Dingman and Teresa Allen. Teresa, go first. You're muted. You are muted, Teresa.
I think I sent you a text about page 9. How when I added things up across the bottom, 16 plus 5 plus 6 plus 1 plus 3 equals 31 return. How did you resolve that issue?
30 were returned. We counted several times. 30 were returned, and 6 evaluators. Yes, 30 out of 39 were returned. And 6 evaluators looked at each one. Mm-hmm. So, we are confident of 30 return.
Did you ever look at that, at what I was asking about? Because when you added things along the bottom, it came up to 31 rather than 30. And I just never, maybe it's.
And I didn't know where you got those numbers across. Because those weren't the final numbers. I assumed you were looking at something that was passed around earlier in the personnel committee when we were not yet done. We sort of had a halfway report.
Okay, well, I thought it was the final document on page 9. Okay, the other question is, Adriana did ask to see her...
No, she did not. Only one PNB member asked to have their code number sent to them.
Oh, I thought she was asking for it.
No.
Okay. Okay.
Jim Dingman, you've been waiting.
Yeah, you know, look, mazel tov, Darlene. I hope you go flagellate yourself for your little error there.
Former Catholic, no longer Catholic, former Catholic.
you know, little, look, the thing, it's interesting that that critique was raised about wanting to see the perception of those of us who coded it, which I think is reasonable, actually a reasonable request. Because, you know, although I must admit that some of it, I felt I was trying to be as objective as possible, because if somebody says, you know, overwhelmingly that one thing or another, I mean, what am I going to do? Say it's negative? And that's ridiculous. I think, you know, I wouldn't go beat up on yourself too much. I mean, it was what it is. Now, the thing I just wanted to raise is the fact that I get what you mentioned earlier is that some board members, PNB members, did not give you responses. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Well, that's unacceptable, because it yes. really has to be drummed in. It has to be drummed into them from the get-go. They have to make sure that they do this, or else they get thrown into the clink or something like that, because this is ridiculous. They should act as an example to other people to do these kind of things. It's nuts that they shouldn't have done that. And I think that people in the executive session, we have one little on Viad, which said that, you know, that was really uncool not to do that. And I would hope that in the future they, you know, get reprimanded. That, because that's ridiculous to not actually participate in this in any way they want. I mean, I mean, it's not fair to the people who elected them. It's not fair to their local station boards that they acted like that.
Yes. And we can only surmise, or we certainly can't even do that in open session, because again, the level of confidentiality and anonymity that was promised to everybody in this process means, you know, that there's a lot that we wouldn't say because of other conclusions that could be drawn by maybe a misreading of trying to understand who responded and who didn't. So thanks. Yes. Anybody else want to run me over the coals? I've already done that to myself all, you know, yesterday and today. So just let me know.
Let's move on.
No, let's move on.
No, I don't want to.
Thank you, Nancy. So, my friends, this has been a wonderful experience of working together, but we are now at the point of deciding if we have new business and a next meeting date anytime soon, or if this should just be brought up again after there has been next year's PNB committee elections, and go from there. You know, sort of hand the next committee chair, you know, our files, so to speak, our records, and, let those people call the next meeting. Is there a reason why this particular group of folks should make another meeting soon before the election? And I see James Sagerton's hand up.
Yeah. I just took a bite of a sandwich. What we were mentioning earlier about helping the stations, you know, perform their PD and GM evaluations under the supervision of the PNB, as in the bylaws, would enable us to have another meeting and start to set that up so that the new people coming in just aren't looking around like, where am I? What am I supposed to do? And also begin to set up the process for the next ED evaluation with some kind of a schedule and some kind of a way forward. And if the new people on the committee want to change that around, they're free to do that, but at least we could leave them a blueprint that they can accept or not. But, you know, one of the things, one of the reasons we get lost in this organization is because we do drop things, and then the next group comes in and they have no clue what came before. And this is that consistency, that regularness that we were talking about earlier.
Excellent. Julie has her hand up, and then it'll be me. So, Julie.
Yeah, Darlene, the thing that I was just reflecting on the other day was that I would say something at our PMB meeting on the 21st. You know, the first meeting of the month is generally when we hear committee reports. And it occurred to me that because the first meeting in January will definitely be the 2023 PMB, because the 2024 directors won't yet have been elected by all the stations, you know, that when we meet on, it looks like January 4th, that what we ought to do is have each of the committees deliver, you know, kind of like its overarching report for the year. And so then the question is, you know, are we, as a committee, are we willing to, let Darlene draft that report, or do we feel like we need to talk about it as a group? I mean, I think in some sense, the overall report for the year from this committee is reasonably straightforward. And I like the ideas that Sagerton also mentioned. So that's it.
Well, I'm calling on myself next. And my question actually is it kosher for a group who doesn't even know if they're coming back next year, as elected PNB members from our stations? Well, a few people might know, but we haven't been elected to the PNB. We haven't been elected to committees once seated on the PNB, but we could probably figure out by date when the next committee will have had its members elected. And can we, who might not even be there, put a meeting on the board for the personnel committee to meet after, closely after that election happens? Anybody know if that's kosher? Okay. Teresa's got her hand up, and then Dingman.
I don't know whether it's kosher, but this is not a standing committee, and there's a term for what we do, what you do with a committee that's not a standing committee. This committee, and there's another one that are not standing committees. So, I guess you have to ask the PNB whether they want to continue these committees, right? There's a word for that.
No, that's right, Teresa. Because it's not a standing committee, it has to be set up by the PNB passing a motion to say, we're going to have a personnel committee. Here's who we think needs to be on it, or, you know, how it should be constituted. And here's its charge. Now, one of the things that we could do, Darlene, is we could, we could draft the motion so that, you know, and it's just, it's our recommendation, right? The next PMB will do what the next PMB wants to do, but it's our recommendation that yes, you should have a personnel committee. It should be, you know, constituted this particular way. And here's what we think its charge should be. I mean, and then at least they're not starting from scratch, right? We've like given them our best advice. They'd be smart to take it, but you know, they'll do what they'll do, right?
Do you want to do that now? The night is still young.
I was hoping to leave it young at the end of the meeting. Okay, hold on. So the stand up the committee, the positions that should be on it, and its mandate.
Mandate, yeah.
Well, I think we ourselves said a lot in question C that we discussed in the minutes. And we can offer that as what we would recommend, what use we would recommend that the PNB can use a personnel committee for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, may I say something?
Yeah, go ahead. You've got your hand up.
Okay, so we talked a little bit about this earlier. I think Julie talked about it, like, I don't think that we can vote on this in the first meeting, because I think the group that has to approve the committees would be the one where they're seated with the new people. But we could say, maybe we should continue this committee, we might not necessarily have to meet every month, but, the things that we could do is, in the year 2024, do an evaluation of the ED. We could help regularize a schedule for LSB evaluations. We could create a template for LSB evaluations. And we could create a procedures for GM searches. And we could assist LSBs with evaluations if needed. And I guess if we got that in writing, then we could pitch that at the next, at the PNB after everybody's seated, when they're ready to populate committees. And they could, you know, I don't know whether it's necessary to have this committee vote on that, but if we gave them some suggestions, certainly it's a lot easier than them trying to think of all these things and write this motion in the middle of a PNB meeting.
If we send this around to each other by email, will people read the email and comment?
Why don't we just do this? Why don't we come up with four or five things right now, see if there's any objection to them, and say, we suggest that you continue this committee, and here are some of the things that they might do.
All right. I'd like to jump in on this.
Go ahead.
All right. First of all, I don't want to come up with it is important for all the committees, not only this one, have some sort of pass on function, because I know when I was in charge of the programming committee years ago, I had to actually corral everybody who was coming onto the board to make sure that they met. And then I got treated like shit by somebody who will remain unnamed, and I just never will forget that. But anyway, I did that on my own initiative. I think it's important for all the committees to allow that kind of knowledge, especially given the situation we're in now as an institution, to be passed on intelligently to those that come in after us. And I would not necessarily want to come up with four ideas tonight necessarily. I don't mind having that discussion, but again, there's a lot to be put down and passed on. And I'd like to maybe suggest that that be sent out to everybody, and then we could add our 2 cents worth to it rather than rush to something tonight. But I totally agree that that is an important process for this committee and for any other committee in the state of the foundation at this point, to have ideas not thrown out, oh, it didn't work, you know, well, we're not in a situation where we can be, cavalier about this, given the fact that we've learned a lot in this committee that was not done beforehand for quite a long time, for years, actually. But that applies to every committee.
True. No, I think we have every right, if not obligation, to pass on as best we can an understanding of what we've done as a committee and what we can foresee a personnel committee being, as I keep saying, of use to Pacifica. Nancy Sorden, you want to speak?
Yeah. I think these are great ideas about passing on stuff to the next year's PMB people, committees and stuff. I think the PMB should do it too. They should come up with something that should get passed on to the next PNB.
A board handbook, wouldn't it?
Well, no. I mean, yeah, the handbook, but also like what was accomplished, what's left to be done, you know, pitfalls to watch out for, I don't know, something like that. But I raised my hand because I was wondering, this isn't the last, I mean, the PNB is going to continue into January. The last meeting is the last, we can meet the second Thursday anytime in January, as I understand it.
Right.
So does that mean that the personnel committee is going to meet again, and will we do some of this stuff then?
Okay.
That was items 6 and 7.
Very important to pass it.
Yeah, on. Right. I see your hand, Teresa. Heather Gray's next.
Oh, thank you, darling. So I was wondering if we are going to be meeting again, but I guess that's not certain. But I want to take this opportunity to thank Darlene for her great work as chair of this committee. Thank you, Darlene. You've been great.
Thank you.
Yeah, everybody, yes, I'm seeing a clap from Julie, I'm sure, and Teresa, everybody. Thank you for your great work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Darlene.
Never mind. I was going to figure out a way to dismiss part of it and, you know, please don't praise, but you know what? For many years I've been told, would you quit putting, you know, diminishing yourself? So there you go. Thank you.
Soak it in, Darlene.
For the good.
Thank you, Darlene. Thank you very much.
Good evaluation. Thank you.
Never diminish yourself, Darlene. Big mistake.
I know it is. I know it.
Yes, don't do that.
That's sexism in action, girl.
It is. Deeply ingrained. So thank you. And now let me take another breath and say, so could we as a placeholder put ourselves down for, remember we were meeting on Tuesdays. We've had two Thursdays in a row. Because one, we needed to be on the agenda at a PMB meeting, and we're on a Thursday this week because it was open because of no PMB meeting, and we took what was open. Who can do the organizational review of when is the second meeting of the PMB, so that we know what Tuesday perhaps we can speak up to put a meeting on KPFTX, it can always be canceled.
Okay.
If unneeded.
Okay, so the PNB meets on the 4th of January and the 18th of January. Mm-hmm. The 11th is open. The coordinating committee meets on the 25th.
Okay, hold on. I don't particularly want to try to take the second Thursday in the month in case the PMB does say it needs to do it. but I was thinking of us meeting on the Tuesday before or between a PNB meeting. So I guess what I'm suggesting, and people could tell me if it won't work because of PNB meetings, but Tuesday the 9th of January.
Is Finance Committee.
Okay, yes, that's right. We meet at different times, but, well, let's go back to Monday.
I mean, could we meet just for an hour? Could we meet?
Or what about Tuesday the 16th? Cause that's not a finance, an NFC meeting.
True.
Well, fine with me. I love that, we have options. So, so you're saying Tuesday the 16th, Julie?
I'm throwing it out there as an option, yes.
Yes, yes. Would there be an objection to, putting our final wrap up meeting? This is just the wrap up, but the final wrap up.
So
on Tuesday the 16th. Okay. I see two hands raised by this point. Teresa.
I have a condition. I don't like to have meetings just to have meetings because I have a husband and he would like a little bit of my time and I have meetings every day of the week. And sometimes he just rolls his eyes. I don't know whether he's thinking about divorce or what, but he just rolls his eyes about Pacifica. So if we did have a meeting on the 16th, I would say that we should write a draft, maybe ask the chair to write a draft motion for how we proceed and have people add to it or suggest changes to it before the meeting on the 16th. So on the 16th, we could just vote up or down. Do we want to make this change? Do we not want to make this change? And so we'd have an actual document for the board on the 18th without trying to write it from scratch on the 16th.
Okay.
If that's okay with the committee.
Well, I would assume that the ideas to do this would be circulated immediately.
Yes.
I mean, just start, because why wait? Just start this whole process right now. You know, just send out a little bit of what points people want to make. We add to them, and then whammo, we get it. They'll be finished in a couple of weeks.
I'm going to have the minutes finished. I'm going to send them to Darlene. Darlene could write a draft and put that into the minutes.
I'm happy to write a draft. I am not happy to have any deadline before Tuesday. Okay. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. So would everybody be with that?
Yeah, circulating a draft is separate from the minutes. I'm just saying, Teresa.
Okay. Madam Chair, you might want to ask if there's any objection.
Thank you. Any objection to the idea of starting a draft immediately of what we would like to say to the PNB about the future of a personnel committee? Its personnel committee. I'm going to have to ask people to speak out loud because hands are raised to be speakers. Oh, so maybe I should get rid of all the hands. No objection. Thank you, Nancy.
No objection. Please don't get rid of my hand.
I won't, but it's good to know. All right. So there was no objection. So as of Tuesday, expect to see, a draft motion to the PMB, the personnel committee, and your comments, feedback are going to be, welcomed immediately. Now I do want to say Tuesday is the 19th. So we're closing in on don't bother me. I'm in a holiday panic. But how about I'll get it out on the 19th?
Can I make
it? Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Darlene, could you also include that this committee, I think all of us would recommend that all the other committees do the same.
Sure.
Because I think that every committee should provide a little report about what they think they've accomplished.
And the PNB.
Yeah, every PNB committee.
And the PNB.
Well, that's amusing. Yeah. Well, yeah. That, I, what the hell? Okay. Fine. Fine. That's valid.
I'm sure Julie loves the idea, but she's not objecting.
James Sagerton.
We would all help her.
Yes. Yeah.
James Sagerton.
Yeah.
Can you hear Teresa?
James Sagerton. I'm looking at KPFTX, and when we were talking about dates before, on the 19th, so when is our next, you're going to get these things out by the 19th, but our next meeting is going to be January 16th, right?
Right.
Okay. And James, I see two finance committee meetings on the 19th. One is an executive session. That's right. Right, I guess.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you very much. Just needed clarification on that. Okay, I'll get the minutes. Can you repeat that last thought? Because I was concerned about something.
Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to you, Madam Chair. What was the last thought that I may have missed for the minutes?
Oh, well, they're going to be separate.
I guess that's what it was.
And I didn't hear what you said.
All right.
Jim Dingman recommended that we recommend that the other committee.
Yes.
And the PNB. That's a good idea. Good idea.
I think it's a great idea, but I don't know that it's our place to tell the other committees what to do.
Well, we request, Teresa, we request, we suggest. We do not think we are telling.
It's just a recommendation.
Yeah, exactly. Take it or leave it.
If you don't say it, nobody else will.
Right.
All right. Is our chair going to mention it in the report?
Yes, the chair will. James, okay, hold on. James Sagerton and Heather Gray have had their hands up.
Guys, have a good night. Bye-bye.
Oh, okay.
I've got to go.
Yeah, got it. Got it. James Sagerton. Yeah.
Thank you. I want to say that the new PNB committees aren't elected and seated until sometime in February. And I think it's one of the structural defects of this organization that we spend so much time between elections and the final seating of committee in sort of a limbo kind of a situation. And we spend so much time in elections, and it diminishes the amount of time we really have to do the work. So I don't think we should be like the Phoenix and just crash and burn, and then we are expected to rise up miraculously and, you know, reconstitute ourselves and move forward. We should give every assistance we can to the new group coming in. And I agree that all the committees should be doing this. And I see it more as not like we are, you know, one thing is ending and another thing is beginning. It's more like passing a baton in a relay race. And if we pass the baton effectively, then this committee won't sit for 6 months until somebody figures out, oh, yeah, we got something we should do. And then they'll do a rush job to do whatever that happens to be. So, yeah, I'm suggesting we use all the time we have. We go right up until the end, maybe even to the extent of inviting people to the next, to the last meeting, whatever that is that we have, who might be interested in serving on the committee so they get some idea what's going on. But again, the main idea would be to pass the baton, keep it going, keep what we've done alive so that it can go on the next time and not just get lost, which is again, a structural defect in this organization that happens over and over and over again. Thanks.
It is. Thank you. Yes. That's an interesting idea. We'll bring it up to talk among ourselves at the next meeting, which is, if you're interested in running, putting yourself up for election for the PNB, come to, because it's not, there's going to be, we'd have to say there's no official business being conducted at the meeting, and that's why you can be in the meeting and not just listening to the meeting. We'll have to check, see if there's something in the bylaws or Roberts that makes that not doable. I'm going to call on Nancy Sorden.
Do the committee.
Darlene, before you go to Nancy, can you still hear me?
Yeah.
I just wanted to comment on what you just said. We have a policy in the PNB that all directors can attend all meetings. So right. If there are new directors who haven't been elected yet, they're still free to come to our meeting. That would
good
be an
point.
Event.
Oh, very good point.
Sorry, Nancy.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So this is speaking to how to get this overlap to work and to how to make it help the next set of personnel committee members. And so the question is, don't the committees keep meeting until the next committee is appointed?
I would say if they had work to conduct, they would continue to meet. But
even after the new panel is seated?
Oh, like the NFC. Yes, of course. I didn't think of that. Yes. They continue to meet until there's an official new members.
Right.
That's what Sagerton was just saying.
Right. Yes.
Right. So, you know, so the 16th would not be, the 16th of January would not be, if that's what it was, if that's what you chose, would not be the last, does not have to be the last meeting that this committee meets.
Right.
It can continue into February.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Legally, I mean.
Okay.
Right? Is that, that's
what? Yeah.
I mean, not that we would.
Yeah, yeah. No, I just.
If you want to essentially like hold their hands until they start, you know, doing the stuff, we might just need to keep meeting.
All right. Well, in this case, we're looking at a meeting.
In order to pass that baton.
Right. We're looking at a meeting in 1 month. Skipping over the whole holiday, Michigan. So, yes, PNB will, this committee will be 1 month.
Great.
All right. Many hands. Heather
may
Gray.
May I interject again? I'm so sorry. But if we decide we want to have one more meeting to effect a smooth transition or, you know, complete a report on where we are, what we got done, what's next, suggested next steps, that sort of thing. We can meet again. We can decide to meet again next time if there's a reason.
Right. If there's a reason. I like that stipulation. Yes. Heather,
don't
go ahead.
Don't sound so enthusiastic, Darlene.
Well, I want to apologize to everyone. I guess I'm being sort of philosophical tonight, but I was sitting here thinking about all the committees and, you know, how to establish this, that, and the other. And so forgive me, Darlene, for just a moment here. I guess you all know most of my work ultimately has been with Black farmers, helping them hold onto their land. And one of my good friends here in Atlanta is Rashid Nuri, who's the leading organic farmer here in Atlanta. He's also a Harvard graduate, you know, but he's a leading organic farmer here in Atlanta across the country. So he has on his card, his business card, on the other side, on the back of the card, it says, "It's simply service that measures success." And these are the words of the great George Washington Carver. So I wanted to mention that to everyone, because that's what you all have been doing, is the service to Pacifica and here, I mean, in the committee and all over the country. So it's simply service that measures success. Thank you. Thank you, Julie.
Thank you.
Thanks, Darlene.
Sure. Teresa Allen, is your hand still up?
No, I guess unless you want me to move that we adjourn.
Well, let me do a real quick thing. Nancy Sorden, are you taking your hand down?
No, I just put it back up.
Oh, you did? Okay, and then everybody else took it down. Thank you very much, everybody else. Nancy Sorden, go ahead.
Okay, and then if we're creating like a timeline or a step-by-step thing that the committee does, if any committee creates this timeline, they should put at the last meeting of the year that you create this, that this is a step that you take, is you prepare to pass the baton by, you know, preparing the what has been done, what still needs to be done, and recommendations. That's to be done in January, December or January. That's a duty that the committee needs to do at this meeting. Just like, you know, in the
bio. I got it down. From your mouth to the whole PMB. Okay. Are we feeling complete for the evening? Because I'm going to let Teresa loose and let her adjourn, which is right about now, Teresa.
I move that we adjourn.
You can make objections, or it's just an up or down? Up or down.
And I could ask if there are any objections.
Are there any objections to ending this meeting at 7:30 Pacific, 10:30 East Coast time? Hearing no objections, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you all.
Thanks, everyone.
Well done, Darlene. This was a good meeting.
Exactly. An excellent meeting. Thank you.
Yay. Darlene, happy holidays all.